Welcome back to Opiniate, where we delve into complex and pressing topics of our time. In today's episode, we explore the intricate and controversial Citizenship Amendment Act, CAA. We'll unravel the layers of this act, examining its implications for religious minorities in South Asia, its alignment with international standards, and the debates it has sparked about India's legal and constitutional frameworks. Stay tuned as we dive deep into the nuances of the CAA. In our exploration of the Citizenship Amendment Act, it's pivotal to commence with the profound historical injustices and the seismic event known as partition. This division, rooted in religious demarcations, has left an indelible mark on the Indian subcontinent. It is essential to understand this backdrop to fully grasp the nuances and the imperative of the act, aimed at addressing long-standing issues faced by religious minorities in neighboring lands. The partition of British India in 1947 stands as a pivotal yet traumatic event in South Asian history, marking the birth of two independent nations, India and Pakistan, founded on ostensibly distinct religious lines. This bifurcation, primarily predicated upon religious identities, Hinduism in India and Islam in Pakistan, was envisioned as a solution to the contentious issue of religious cohabitation under colonial rule. The genesis of this divide can be traced back to rising communal tensions and political maneuvers during the waning years of British colonialism.
The Muslim League, led by Muhammad Ali Jinnah, advocated for a separate nation for Muslims, fearing marginalization in a predominantly Hindu India.
Conversely, the Indian National Congress, with leaders like Mahatma Gandhi and Jawaharlal Nehru, initially sought a unified India but eventually acquiesced to partition, viewing it as the only viable path to a peaceful transfer of power. The actual process of partition was catastrophically rushed and poorly planned. Cyril Radcliffe, a British lawyer with no prior experience of India, was tasked with drawing the new borders. Over mere weeks, he delineated the boundaries that would dissect provinces, communities, and even families. The announcement of the borders came after the formal declaration of independence, plunging the region into chaos. The human cost of this division was staggering. It triggered one of the largest mass migrations in human history, with estimates suggesting that approximately 10 to 15 million people were displaced. Hindus and Sikhs from what had become Pakistan migrated to India, and Muslims from India moved to Pakistan. The migration was marred by unprecedented violence, with communal riots, massacres, and acts of barbarity, leading to the death of an estimated 1 to 2 million people. The long-term ramifications of partition have been profound, particularly concerning minority rights and inter-religious dynamics in the region. In Pakistan, the Hindu and Sikh populations, which constituted around 23% of West Pakistan's population in 1947, drastically dwindled to less than 2% today due to migration, persecution, and conversion pressures. In contrast, India adopted a secular constitution, but has witnessed periods of communal violence, with minorities often living in a state of vulnerability. Moreover, the legacy of partition has entrenched a deep-seated mistrust between India and Pakistan, leading to multiple wars and continuous geopolitical tensions. This historic schism has amplified religious identities as political tools, often at the expense of minority rights and social cohesion. The partition of British India was not merely a geopolitical reconfiguration, but a cataclysm that reshaped the subcontinent's demographic, cultural, and political landscapes. Its echoes are felt to this day, influencing regional politics, inter-religious relationships, and the lives of millions, particularly those belonging to religious minorities. Understanding this backdrop is essential for comprehending the complexities and sensitivities surrounding contemporary issues like the Citizenship Amendment Act. The plight of religious minorities in South Asia, particularly in countries neighboring India, has been a concern of considerable gravity and complexity. Historical context and contemporary realities intertwine, making the situation particularly poignant. In Pakistan, religious minorities such as Hindus, Christians, Sikhs, and Ahmadiyyas have faced systematic discrimination and persecution. For instance, the use of blasphemy laws has been particularly notorious. These laws, ostensibly designed to protect religious sentiments, have often been misused to target minorities. According to Human Rights Watch and other international bodies, accusations of blasphemy have frequently led to mob violence against minority communities, even before any formal legal process. The Ahmadi community, in particular, faces state-sanctioned discrimination and is legally barred from practicing their faith openly. In Bangladesh, while the official stance is more secular compared to Pakistan, Hindus and Buddhists have faced significant challenges, particularly in the form of property seizures and communal violence. The aftermath of the 1971 Liberation War saw substantial violence against Hindus, and there have been several instances since then, such as the 2013 riots in Dhaka, where minority communities were targeted. Despite legal protections, the enforcement is weak, and social discrimination persists. Afghanistan presents a dire scenario for religious minorities, especially under Taliban rule. The Sikh and Hindu communities, which once numbered in the thousands, have dwindled significantly due to persecution and lack of rights. The Yazidi community also faces severe threats to their survival, with forced conversions and attacks being all too common. These examples underscore a bleak reality. Religious minorities in these regions live under constant threat of violence, legal discrimination, and social ostracization. The lack of effective legal frameworks to protect these groups and the frequent indifference or complicity of state authorities exacerbate their plight. This context of systemic persecution and discrimination underpins the rationale for legislative measures like the Citizenship Amendment Act in India, aimed at providing refuge to those fleeing such conditions. The concept of legal and humanitarian obligations, especially in the context of providing refuge, is both complex and multifaceted, deeply rooted in a combination of historical legacies, international covenants, and moral imperatives. For India, these obligations are significantly influenced by the aftermath of colonial rule and the traumatic partition, an event that reshaped the subcontinent's demographic and political landscapes. India's moral obligations stem from the historical context of the partition in 1947, a monumental event that led to massive population exchanges based on religious identity. This division created long-standing socio-political rifts and a legacy of cross-border familial ties, invoking a sense of responsibility towards individuals facing persecution in neighboring countries, particularly Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan. These are nations with whom India shares not only borders, but a collective historical and cultural heritage disrupted by partition and post-colonial restructuring. Legally, India is bound by several international conventions, albeit with some nuances. While India is not a signatory to the 1951 Refugee Convention or its 1967 Protocol, it is a signatory to several other international treaties, such as the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, ICCPR, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, CRC, and the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, CERD, which obligate respect for human rights and non-discrimination. These commitments, while not directly related to refugees, underline a legal framework that leans towards protecting basic human rights, applicable to refugees and asylum seekers. Furthermore, India's approach to asylum and refuge has historically been one of ad hoc humanitarianism rather than codified law. For example, India has provided refuge to Tibetans fleeing Chinese oppression since the 1950s, as well as to Tamils from Sri Lanka during the Civil War. These instances demonstrate India's willingness to provide sanctuary to those fleeing persecution, albeit in an inconsistent and non-legal framework. The Citizenship Amendment Act, CAA, from this perspective, can be seen as an attempt to codify part of India's approach towards providing refuge to persecuted minorities from specific neighboring countries. It reflects an acknowledgement of these historical, moral, and, to an extent, legal obligations, particularly towards religious minorities from countries with a shared history of partition and cultural ties. However, this legislative move has stirred significant debate and has been critiqued for various reasons, including its selective nature and the implications for India's secular constitution. Critics argue that by distinguishing refugees based on religion, the CAA deviates from the secular and non-discriminatory principles that ought to characterize legal protections for refugees and asylum seekers. Transitioning to the second pivotal dimension of our discourse, we delve into the imperative for clarification and streamlining of refugee status. This facet addresses the ambiguity surrounding the legal identity of refugees versus illegal migrants, a distinction that remains blurred in India's legislative landscape. It's a discourse on establishing a clear, humane framework that respects international norms while catering to national security concerns, a nuanced balancing act of legal precision and humanitarian compassion. In the intricate situation of Indian law, there exists a conspicuous void, the absence of a specific legal framework dedicated to the recognition and protection of refugees. This lacuna in the legislative fabric has led to a scenario where refugees are often conflated with illegal migrants, leading to ad hoc and inconsistent treatment under the law. India, despite its long history of providing sanctuary to various persecuted communities, from Tibetans in the 1950s to Sri Lankan Tamils in the 1980s, has not ratified the 1951 United Nations Refugee Convention nor its 1967 Protocol. Consequently, there is no nationwide statute that delineates a clear policy for the treatment of refugees. Instead, refugees in India are governed under the Foreigners Act of 1946 and the Passport Entry into India Act of 1920, laws designed primarily to regulate the entry and exit of all foreigners, without distinguishing between those seeking refuge and those entering for other reasons. The result is a legal ambiguity that often subjects refugees to the same legal framework as illegal immigrants. This not only complicates their legal status, but also affects their access to basic rights and services. For example, without formal recognition as refugees, individuals fleeing persecution may be detained for lacking proper documentation, denied legal employment, or access to education and healthcare services. This ad hoc treatment stems from a broader lack of a standardized policy or legal guidelines, leading to varied responses from state to state and case to case. While the central government has occasionally issued long-term visas and allowed access to bank accounts and employment for specific groups, such as Tibetans and Sri Lankans, these measures are largely discretionary and lack uniform application. The need for a clear, comprehensive refugee law in India is thus not just a matter of administrative convenience, but a profound legal and humanitarian obligation. Such a law would not only align India with international standards, but also provide a structured, humane approach to handling those who have been forced to flee their home countries due to persecution or conflict. In this unfortunate situation, the Citizenship Amendment Act, CAA, emerges as a significant piece designed to address a specific aspect of the broader immigrant and refugee conundrum. The Act specifically aims to provide a structured pathway for persecuted minorities from three neighboring countries, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, to regularize their stay within the borders of India. The essence of the CAA is to mitigate the hardships faced by Hindus, Sikhs, Christians, Jains, Buddhists, and Parsis, who have fled from these countries due to religious persecution. By reducing the requirement for naturalization from the standard 11 years of residence to just 5 years for these groups, the Act facilitates a faster route to Indian citizenship, acknowledging their distress and aligning with India's humanitarian considerations. The regularization of their stay under the CAA means that these individuals can access a range of services and rights that are otherwise unavailable to undocumented migrants. These include the right to work legally, access to healthcare, education, and other public services, which collectively contribute to a more dignified existence and smoother integration into society. The narrative surrounding the protection of persecuted minorities is not exclusive to India. It resonates on a global scale, with several nations enacting legislation to address this humanitarian concern. By examining international examples, we can contextualize the Citizenship Amendment Act, CAA, within a broader spectrum of global practices aimed at safeguarding vulnerable groups. The U.S. has a history of implementing laws designed to protect persecuted minorities. For instance, the Lautenberg Amendment, passed in 1989 and periodically extended, facilitates refugee status adjustment for minorities from the former Soviet Union, Iran, and, more recently, certain Southeast Asian countries. This amendment lowers the proof required to claim refugee status, acknowledging the risks faced by religious minorities in these regions. Canada's policies offer another paradigm of protection for persecuted minorities. Through its private sponsorship of refugees program, Canada allows private citizens and organizations to sponsor refugees, including those persecuted on religious grounds, from anywhere in the world.
This initiative not only underscores Canada's commitment to humanitarian aid, but also allows for a more personalized integration process for the refugees.
In response to the Syrian refugee crisis, Germany introduced temporary protection measures that expedited asylum procedures for Syrian nationals, recognizing them as prima facie refugees. While not exclusively for religious minorities, this policy underscores the principle of protecting individuals fleeing persecution and conflict, including those persecuted for their religious beliefs. The UK's Vulnerable Persons Resettlement Scheme, VPRS, initiated to respond to the Syrian conflict, specifically targets individuals requiring urgent medical treatment, survivors of violence and torture, and women and children at risk. The scheme is indicative of the UK's approach to prioritizing the most vulnerable, including religious minorities, for resettlement. These international examples reflect a shared global commitment to protecting persecuted minorities, demonstrating various approaches to the issue. The CAA aligns with these global practices by providing a framework for persecuted religious minorities from specific countries to seek refuge and citizenship. However, unlike some of the examples mentioned, which apply universally to all persecuted individuals, the CAA is specific to certain religious communities, which has sparked a debate on inclusivity and secular values. Nevertheless, the underlying principle of extending support to individuals facing religious persecution aligns India with a broader international movement committed to humanitarian principles and the protection of human rights. These global practices underscore the importance of nations stepping up to protect vulnerable groups, albeit through different mechanisms tailored to their respective legal and social contexts. As we progress to our third critical aspect, we delve into the intricate interplay between geopolitical frameworks and national security considerations. This segment sheds light on how India's legislative measures, specifically the Citizenship Amendment Act, are not merely internal decisions, but are deeply influenced by regional dynamics and security imperatives. Here, we explore how the Act intersects with India's strategic interests, addressing both immediate and long-term challenges in a complex regional security landscape. India's geographical expanse, marked by its extensive borders with multiple countries, presents unique and formidable challenges in border management and security. Among the paramount concerns is the issue of illegal immigration, which significantly impacts national security, particularly in the border states. The northeastern states of India, sharing borders with Bangladesh, have been notably affected. The porous borders have facilitated a steady influx of illegal migrants, altering the demographic fabric of the region. This has led to social unrest, as indigenous populations express concerns over job competition, resource allocation, and cultural preservation. Assam, for example, has been a hotspot for such tensions, culminating in the Assam Accord of 1985 and the recent National Register of Citizens, NRC update, aimed at identifying illegal immigrants. The state of West Bengal, too, experiences continuous illegal migration from Bangladesh, driven by economic disparities and environmental challenges. This unchecked migration has strained local economies, contributed to overcrowding, and heightened communal tensions, demanding increased vigilance and resources from local law enforcement and border security forces. Furthermore, the western borders with Pakistan are no less challenging, compounded by the historical animosities and current geopolitical tensions. The regions of Punjab, Rajasthan, and Gujarat face not only illegal migration, but also threats of terrorism, smuggling, and espionage, which necessitate rigorous security measures and constant monitoring. The impacts of illegal immigration on national security are multifaceted, including the potential for cross-border terrorism, demographic changes leading to social instability, and the burden on economic resources and infrastructure. India's approach to addressing these challenges involves a combination of physical security measures, such as fencing and patrolling, and legal measures, including diplomatic negotiations and legislative reforms. In this context, the Citizenship Amendment Act, CAA, can be seen as part of a broader strategy to manage the complex dynamics of immigration and citizenship. By regularizing the status of certain groups of immigrants, the government aims to alleviate some of the pressures on border states and strengthen national security. In the complex geopolitical situation of South Asia, India's stance on providing refuge to persecuted minorities is more than a humanitarian gesture. It is intricately linked to broader strategic objectives and regional stability. This approach is reflective of India's desire to project itself as a responsible regional power, advocating for human rights while navigating the delicate balance of regional politics. By offering sanctuary to persecuted minorities, particularly from neighboring countries like Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan, India aims to spotlight the issue of religious persecution and minority rights within these nations. This act not only underscores the democratic values and secular ethos India strives to uphold, but also indirectly pressures neighboring governments to address their internal social issues, potentially leading to a more stable regional environment. Through its humanitarian actions, India seeks to strengthen bilateral relations with like-minded countries and global powers who view religious freedom and human rights as paramount. By aligning its policies with international human rights standards, India reinforces its partnerships with Western democracies and other global actors, fostering a network of alliances that contribute to regional stability. India's provision of refuge serves as a tool of soft power, enhancing its international image as a protector of human rights. This elevates India's standing on global platforms, allowing it to gain diplomatic leverage and influence in international forums. By contributing positively to global humanitarian efforts, India asserts its role as a key player in shaping the geopolitical landscape of the region. By sheltering minorities fleeing persecution, India also aims to counteract extremist narratives and ideologies that fuel sectarian violence and regional instability. By providing a safe haven for these individuals, India not only offers immediate protection, but also works towards undermining the radical ideologies that lead to persecution in the first place, thereby contributing to a more stable and peaceful regional environment. The integration of persecuted minorities into Indian society can lead to economic benefits and social cohesion. As these individuals contribute to the local economy, their successful integration can serve as a model for regional cooperation and development, further stabilizing the area and demonstrating the benefits of inclusive policies. The enactment of the Citizenship Amendment Act, CAA, in India has been a subject of intense debate not only within its borders, but also in its diplomatic corridors with neighboring nations. The legislation, which aims to provide a fast-tracked pathway to citizenship for persecuted minorities from Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, has had multifaceted impacts on India's foreign relations. Relations with Bangladesh have experienced tensions post-CAA enactment. Despite strong cultural and economic ties, the CAA has sparked concerns in Dhaka, as it is implied that minorities are being persecuted in Bangladesh, a claim that the Bangladeshi government strongly refutes. High-level visits between the two nations were postponed, and public statements from Bangladeshi officials expressed dismay over the perceived negative portrayal. However, diplomatic efforts have been underway to mitigate misunderstandings, emphasizing shared cultural heritage and economic partnerships. The CAA has further strained India-Pakistan relations, already fraught due to long-standing disputes. The act has been perceived by Pakistan as discriminatory against Muslims, contributing to worsening bilateral ties. However, from India's perspective, the legislation addresses the historic mistreatment of minorities in Pakistan. The dialogue between the two countries remains minimal, with the CAA adding another layer to the complex geopolitical puzzle. The situation with Afghanistan is particularly nuanced. The Afghan government, prior to the Taliban's recent takeover, acknowledged the plight of minorities, but also expressed concerns about the implications of the CAA, fearing it might undermine the unity of the Afghan people. Post-Taliban resurgence, India's focus has shifted towards humanitarian aid and support, but the CAA remains a backdrop to the broader discourse on the treatment of minorities. The CAA has also influenced India's engagements on international platforms. Countries in the West, including the United States and members of the European Union, have expressed concerns regarding the Act's exclusivity and its alignment with international human rights standards. While India has defended the CAA as a sovereign decision aimed at protecting persecuted individuals, it has had to navigate a fine line between domestic policy decisions and international human rights expectations. Despite the challenges, the CAA also presents opportunities for diplomatic outreach. India can leverage its position as a refuge for persecuted minorities to build stronger ties with like-minded countries. Additionally, by addressing the concerns of international observers and providing transparent mechanisms for the implementation of the CAA, India can mitigate criticism and enhance its global standing. Venturing into the fourth cornerstone of our analysis, we delve into the intricate tapestry of the legal framework and constitutional safeguards. This realm scrutinizes how the Citizenship Amendment Act intersects with the foundational principles enshrined in the Indian Constitution. We will dissect the legal underpinnings, evaluating the Act's conformity with constitutional mandates, while assessing the robustness of checks and balances designed to uphold the rule of law and protect individual rights. The Citizenship Amendment Act, CAA, passed by the Indian Parliament in December 2019, has ignited widespread discussion regarding its alignment with the Indian Constitution's principles. To understand this alignment, we must delve into specific constitutional provisions and judicial precedents that frame the context of this legislation. Article 14 of the Indian Constitution guarantees the right to equality, stating that the state shall not deny any person equality before the law or equal protection of the laws within the territory of India. Critics argue that the CAA, by excluding Muslims from the list of persecuted minorities who can benefit from expedited citizenship, violates this principle. However, proponents contend that Article 14 allows for reasonable classification, provided there is a legitimate state aim and the classification is not arbitrary. They argue that the CAA's focus on religious minorities from specific countries is based on historical contexts of partition and documented instances of persecution in those countries. Article 15 prohibits discrimination by the state against any citizen on grounds of religion, race, caste, sex, or place of birth. While Article 15 specifically applies to citizens and the CAA deals with non-citizens, the spirit of non-discrimination enshrined in the Constitution is often cited in debates over the Act. Article 21, ensuring protection of life and personal liberty, is another cornerstone. Critics of the CAA argue that by potentially excluding a group based on religious lines, the Act compromises the humanistic ethos that Article 21 embodies. However, the government asserts that the CAA is aimed at providing sanctuary to those already facing persecution, rather than excluding or depriving any group. The Supreme Court of India has, over the years, expanded the interpretation of the Constitution to include the right to live with dignity under Article 21, which could be seen as encompassing the right to seek refuge from persecution. However, there has not been a direct ruling on the CAA as of now, leaving room for multiple interpretations. The principle of secularism, enshrined in the preamble of the Indian Constitution, is also a significant point of contention. The CAA's detractors argue that by distinguishing between illegal migrants based on religion, the Act deviates from India's secular principles. In contrast, supporters claim that the Act does not affect the secular character of India, as it does not affect the existing naturalization process available to all, regardless of religion. The Citizenship Amendment Act, CAA, has ignited a panoply of discussions and debates, central to which is its alignment with the non-exclusionary principles of the Indian legal and constitutional framework. Understanding this aspect requires a detailed dissection of how the Act interacts with existing pathways to Indian citizenship, ensuring that it is inclusive in nature and does not negate the rights of other nationalities or religious groups. Firstly, it is imperative to underscore that the CAA does not modify the standard naturalization criteria applicable to all foreign nationals, irrespective of their religious identity. The standard path to citizenship through naturalization under the Indian Citizenship Act 1955 remains accessible. This pathway generally requires an applicant to have resided in India for 11 of the previous 14 years, including a continuous 12-month period immediately before the date of application. This universal criterion stands untouched and continues to be the main avenue for obtaining Indian citizenship for individuals from any country or religion. Moreover, the CAA should be viewed as an addendum rather than a replacement to existing laws. It specifically addresses a subset of migrants, those who are Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, Jains, Parsis, and Christians from Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, who entered India on or before December 31, 2014, due to religious persecution. The legislation accelerates their eligibility for citizenship, but does not invalidate the standard naturalization process available to others. Furthermore, the Act does not affect the rights of Muslim individuals from these or any other countries to apply for Indian citizenship through naturalization, registration, or any other legal means provided by existing statutes. Muslims from Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, or any other country can still seek Indian citizenship through these established channels, provided they meet the necessary criteria. It is also worth noting that India's approach aligns with international practices where countries have laws to provide sanctuary to persecuted minorities. These laws do not typically encompass all nationalities or groups, but are targeted towards groups identified as facing persecution, a practice that is not unique to India. In conclusion, while the CAA provides a specific provision for certain minorities, it does not contravene the non-exclusionary principle as the avenues for others, including Muslims from any nation, remain intact under the broader legal framework of Indian citizenship laws. The Act supplements rather than supplants the existing legal pathways to citizenship, ensuring that India's legal framework remains inclusive while addressing specific humanitarian concerns. Thank you for tuning into our analysis. Remember to give us a thumbs up, subscribe, and ring the notification bell to stay updated with our latest intriguing content. Take care and see you next time.